If you would, please, open your Bibles with me this morning, first of all, to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll read several verses of Scripture this morning, laying solid groundwork for what we'll be doing and saying. My endeavor today, as I've endeavored to do for many, many years now, is to follow Jesus in His pattern, His ways of doing things, His ways of life. And He made a startling statement. It was so startling to the people that were around Him, they were trying to figure out a way to kill Him for it. I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. Now, that's not just for preachers. You and I are here to learn more about all we can about how to do that. Hallelujah. Think about that. Amen. Only say what you hear the Holy Ghost say, and only do what you see Him do. Come on. Boy, that would have sidetracked a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? Oh, I can think of untold thousands of times that I wouldn't have said the wrong thing and said it the wrong way, you know? Amen. What a change that would make in life. And we'll see by the Spirit of God that that's not as unusual and as difficult to do as religion and the natural mind of men have made it sound like. That sounds like an impossibility. But really and truly, if you really want to know the truth, it's the easiest way to live there is, because you don't hear anything, don't say anything. Just shut up. Of course, that's very difficult for some folks I know. Oh, God. Now, you know, when Gloria and I first got married, she didn't say anything. She said, well, you did more talking than both of us ought to do, so didn't need to say anything. No, she was just, she was very, very quiet. She had a lot of timidity back there then that when we both got born again and filled with the Spirit of God, most especially when we got on the Word, found out we'd been redeemed from fear. Man, I'm telling you, the power of God came on her. And those never talk days was over forever. I mean, but I could always depend on her to be the solid one. And I learned this. If you keep your mouth shut, people don't know how dumb you are. Now, that wasn't a case where she was concerned. But I learned it'd sure be a whole lot better where I was concerned. And here's another thing. You already know what you know. And if you're doing all the talking all the time, you ain't ever going to know anymore. Because all you hear is what you already know. This is particularly true in your prayer life. Laying there on the floor crying, squalling, talking just as fast as you can. Somebody that doesn't know anything, laying there doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything. There's something wrong with that picture. We need to flop that thing back the other way. Now, Galatians chapter 5. Put your eyes on this now. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, turn back to the third chapter. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the curse then would be what he's referring to, from which we've been made free. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, if you've been made free from something, then you must have been made free into something. You can't just stand there between two worlds. You got to be somewhere. Amen. So now look at the rest of that verse. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, don't confuse that we might receive the Spirit that God promised us. No, the Spirit that God promised us is part of the promise. The promise of the Spirit is what God promised Abraham. Read it again now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So now, that point of redemption then is the cross itself, right? Now, I want you to see this like this. That cross is standing between two worlds. Here's the curse on one side and the blessing of Abraham on the other. Always remember, that blessing refers all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and God blessed Adam and his wife, saying to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the entire handiwork of God. That is the same creative power with which God created this whole material universe. He created it, created man through the power of it. The very first line in the Bible. Don't you know God never changes? There's no, the scripture says, there's no variableness in him. West Texas, that's just, he ain't about to change. It isn't going to happen, so just forget that. All your prayers, all your praying ain't never changed God. I'll tell you another little side issue to that. You never informed him of anything either. All that talking, you didn't let him in on anything. He didn't already know. Now, that very first line in the very first verse of the very first chapter of the Bible is extremely important, because it's God's will for all men for all time, because he doesn't ever change. Amen. The Garden of Eden was his perfect plan. That should have been the worst condition the human being would have ever known, because at that point, even though Adam could see all of this stuff and everything that went with it, still, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly all he could ask or think. And his eye never dreamed. His insides never had any idea what God had in store for him in the future. Whew. Think of what it ought to be by now. Whoa, if Adam hadn't just blown that blessing off, it would have spread and spread and spread until the whole planet became the garden spot of the universe. That was his perfect plan. And the very first line, in the beginning, God. Now, if you go check out Hebrew writings, Jewish writings, you'll see this, particularly if it's been translated into English correctly. It will say, in the beginning, the blessed one created heavens and the earth. What does bless mean? It means the same thing in every language. And still, human beings goofed it off so badly that it accompanies a sneeze. That's how far down we cast the most powerful thing God ever said to any human.
God bless you.
Amen. It means to empower. The blessed, the one with the power, the one with the ability, the knowledge, the wisdom, the intent, and the compassion. To bless and empower on his level. When he created Adam, he wasn't just following a plan. He reproduced himself. Well, particularly the body of Christ, we should have majored in this to the point where our minds are so renewed that we just can't help it. We just know we just like God. But instead, it's become so religiously correct to say, oh, no, who could ever be like God? Jesus. Wouldn't you say? Wasn't Adam created in his image? There was no lacking in Adam. There wasn't anything in him that wasn't like God. There was nothing in God that was lacking in Adam. And when he said those words, blessed, now he's God empowered. Glory be to Jesus. God empowered to speak, act, walk, and talk like God. Created by God, a speaking spirit. Oh, dear Lord, have mercy. Amen. Blessed. Say it.
Blessed.
Now, when you begin at the very beginning, it is the blessing. When I first got the first little glimpse of this, I was shocked for several days. I just kind of in a daze over this one. There it was all the time, and it just jumped out at me. The Lord had me, and I still do it today. Every time I write the blessing, not a blessing, the blessing, the blessing. I capitalize all the letters, capital T-H-E, and the word blessing in capitals to get it through to my mind, to renew my mind that I'm not dealing with some little cliche. I'm dealing with something here of extreme magnitude. The blessing, the empowerment. Now then you track it. You know what Adam did with it. That's when the curse came in, which is the absolute opposite and directly opposed force. Everything about Adam was twisted 180 degrees. Faith became fear. Now, it's still faith. Fear is twisted faith. Fear of something is faith in that something's ability to hurt, damage, or take your life. Curse, the basic fundamental meaning of the word curse, particularly going back to Hebrew, is loss, failure, and death. The fundamental meaning of the blessing is nothing missing, nothing broken, and life abundant. Now, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you have it to the abundance. Amen. So now, can you see two worlds? Can you see a dark, cursed world where everything over there is leading to death? Everything over there is leading to loss and grief. Everything over there is breaking. Everything, I don't care what you do, it don't work over there. Everything over there is illegal, immoral, or fattening. And yet over here on this, in this other world over here, because of the change, because of the difference, because of redemption, because of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, this kingdom over here has something going for it that other one doesn't. In fact, it's just the opposite. All the power over here in darkness is to darken. Well, if you're trying to do something in the dark, it's harder to do than it is in the light. I want to just see the two worlds. And there stands the cross of Jesus. Oh, dear Lord. By sacrifice. One of the most awesome thoughts you can have is the fact that without faith, Jesus never would have been able to be made sin with our sin, because he didn't commit any sin. So to carry our sicknesses and diseases, for him to take those things into himself, he had to do it by faith. Faith. You and I have to have faith to get saved, faith to get healed, faith to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, faith to live a prosperous life. He had to have faith to take the curse. Because he never sinned. Now, that means he had to do it on purpose, and he did it just because he loved you and me. Now, for you and me to slough off this kingdom, for you and me, just because we are lazy and don't want to stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made us free, just because we just kind of want to do it our way. Listen, it's blasphemous. Yeah. It's hell in your mouth and in your actions. You are aiding and abetting Satan and his purpose in his existence, trying to stay alive on this earth. What's amazing to me, if God had let me, I'd get just madder than hell. It really rips me. For somebody to chase me out of town for preaching victory. And then when the disaster strikes and it kills about a dozen of them, get together and sing Amazing Grace. That really ticks me. But then there's Amazing Grace, isn't there? All right, now stay with me. We're working on something here. Praise God, I get to jump on Creflo. I get to say that first. Because I get the first session, you see. So anything any of them say later, they're copying me. You know it ain't so. Dear Lord, I've been copying Creflo for a long. In fact, I've been copying Jerry and Creflo and Gloria, and kind of makes me look good, don't it? Amen. Now then, that the blessing of Abraham, what is that? God rested. He finished his work and on the seventh day he rested, right? He didn't rest because he's tired. He rests because he's finished. What was his last work? I'm going to get over and talk to some of these preachers because Brother Jim, in our schools of theology, which you'd know more about than I would, because they wouldn't let me in, but the same general idea has been taught, which I counted it like this myself. I thought, he finished his work. Well, what was his work? The last work he did then was when he created the heavens, he created the earth, and then he created everything in the earth, and he got all that done. And then the last thing he did was he created man and put him in the garden. Wrong. The last thing he did was when he blessed the man. That was the biggest work between there and in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, light be. Now, what happened, light be? What was that? The sun and the moon wasn't but for four more days. That was the glory release. And the release of his glory, himself, he released then as far as we know anything about, for the first time, a specific form of that glory that had not been seen before, called matter, physical matter. And when he said, light be. Now, who did that? The blessed one. He released his glory, light, the very essence of all material things. Light, 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 light energy. His glory, which is at the center of all matter. When he released that, it became, for the lack of a better word, the container or the bag within which he placed this universe and filled it with marvelous things. Ah, isn't that good? That is your and my father that did that, by the way. Hallelujah. Just thought you'd like to know. Now then, with all of that in place, all of that, and now here stands his very own self, and he spoke words of life and breathed the life of himself into this man who had this material glory body. Nobody had ever seen one of those before. God said, man be. And the angel said, what's a man? What is a man? Oh, he looks just like God. That blessed work was the last one, because once he released the blessing glory that created all this, his work was done. God Jr. was on the scene. He didn't have to do any more. He just gonna take off, play with the kids.
Amen. God retired. Isn't that good? Yeah. The older you get, the better it looks. Amen. God retired. May I ought to be like him. Yeah, but he went back to work. Oh. When Adam dumped the power, then God had to arise and start his plan to put it back. That's when you begin to track their blessing. He spoke the same thing to Noah and his sons that he had said to Adam and his wife. Same words, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, or refurnish the earth. God knew this material earth would need things. It's going to be in use. And it needs repair from time to time. It need and the replenishing power was in this man. And that's the reason the whole creation is in groaning and in travail today, crying out for a manifestation of the sons of God, because the replenishing power is in the sons of God, in the blessing of Abraham. Restoration is in you. Amen. Redemption is in you.
Yes, sir.
Glory. Oh, glory to God. He immediately started heading towards the cross. Because in Christ Jesus, the second and last Adam, the blessing would reside in security. You can't take it away from an immortal man. Glory to God. Amen? So the blessing of Abraham is the downstream manifestation of God putting that blessing back on his man in the earth where it belonged all the time. And in doing so, it produced another race of man that never existed before the cross of Calvary. The reborn man, the new creation in Christ Jesus, in his image. Blessed of heaven with authority by the name and by the blood of that cross. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't preach me happy. Glory to God. Yes. You know what I like about that? It'll make a somebody out of nobody. Hallelujah. Yeah, Bubba, I'm telling you. Amen. You can take that home with you. Praise God. Now that is this book. This is not only the history of God placing the blessing back on man where it belonged. You trace it down. You look when the blessing came on Abram. Here was a man stuck off out in the middle of nowhere, 75 years old, and he's still at home. God, you think your kids stayed there a long time? Wow. he's in a situation where when he connected with God, the first thing God said to him, I'll bless you. And I'll make a nation out of you. And I'll bless you to be a blessing. Now, that's a key phrase, see, because I'm going to start it in you. Then he said something that's been read and 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 read over and over and over and over and over again and without much understanding. He said, I'll bless those that bless you. In other words, I am placing this blessing on you. Now, all that will help you be a blessing, all that will help you replenish the earth, all that will help you be fruitful, all that will help you multiply. I put the same blessing on them that's on you. But all those that try to stop the blessing, I'll stop them. Now you can see the purpose behind, they that bless you, I bless them. They curse you, I curse them. That was a statement concerning the blessing itself, not just this man. Now, here's another key thing. Why did he tell Abram to leave? Great theological debates have been, you know, yeah, well, then, you know, and like, it ain't that hard. He was in the wrong place. Yeah. That's the reason he needed to leave. Have you ever not paid any attention to God and got in the wrong place? Then it's time to leave. Amen. Get over there where God calls you. You get over there, things work for you. Just be dumb and hard-headed and stay where you are. And go ask Jonah how that worked out for him. God had a place where Jonah needed to be. And when he got over there, what God said worked. Now, while he was still here, what God said worked, but not in his favor. God already told him. He knew better to not go where God told him to go, because when the storm hit, he knew he was the reason why. He'd have saved him a lot of trouble if he just jumped overboard, which is, for all practical purposes, that's what happened. Now, that we see this, let's go back now and let's read this verse again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith. Now, this is the time to translate the word Christ. That's not Jesus' last name, you know that. The Greek word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed, anointed one, or anointing. Now, you go through it, and all of the many times, many, many times through the New Testament, particularly in the writings of the Apostle Paul, he majored in the anointing of Jesus, because we are the body of Christ. We're the body of that anointing. You need to begin to realize that your own personal body does not belong to you. It was bought with a price. It is a body of Christ. Yes. Now, don't let religious correctness keep you from calling it that. Yes. Come choke first two or three times. You say, no, you're not the body of Christ, but you're this body. You have the privilege in which to live. Belongs to Jesus. It is your living sacrifice. He gave you authority over it so you could sacrifice it and gain the rewards of that sacrifice. The reward of that sacrifice is by faith that sacrifice should not have any blemishes in it or on it as a living sacrifice. So you give it to Jesus, and you claim a blemish-free body of Christ. Now, your mind needs to be renewed concerning that. So, the body of that anointing. That anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God, part of the blessing. That's the job of the anointing, is to remove the curse in power. That's the anointing's job. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm so glad, aren't you? Yes. So now that's when you need to stop. You need to read through the whole New Testament with this goal in mind. I'm going to stop. I'm going to underline the word Christ every time I find it. And I'm going to stop and I'm going to translate it in that verse. The anointed one, the anointing, then read that verse and see whether it's speaking. It's always talking about Jesus. You understand that. But when you stop and read that, is that verse majoring specifically in Jesus' person, referring to him, or is it specifically talking about his anointing to remove burdens, destroy yokes, and all the things that the anointing does in the blessing? Oh, it is an eye-opening exercise. This verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Which?
No, it says which strengthens me. That's pretty obvious. That's referring to the anointing. I can do all things through the anointing of Jesus that is in me and on me. I'm a believer. I got born again. That anointing came in me because Jesus came in. It's in there. It is in me, my hope of glory. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I can do all things because that anointing is in me. And it strengthens me. When I have no strength, it strengthens me. Boy, it makes... I remember the day, Billy, you came in my office to me with that. You said... You was big-eyed. You came running in there and you said, look at this. And you read that to me. And for 30 minutes, you stood there in front of me and preached that. This is not who, it's which. And I just sat there and shouted, amen, praise God. Glory. And I've been preaching it ever since. First two or three times, I give him credit for it. I ain't mentioned him since. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. And I did then what I'm talking to you about. I went through all through the New Testament. Now, notice this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith the anointed one. Now, listen. And his anointing has made us free. His anointing has made us free. His anointing has made us free. Jesus did it, and he gave us that anointing, put it in us to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And you don't need to get tangled up again over there in that bondage. Now go to Colossians chapter 1. You ready to shout? I'm waiting till you get there because I want you to put your eyes on this. I want you to see it. This is talking about the blessing now. Verse 9. We also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, why do you need the wisdom of God? That you might be filled with wisdom of his will. Now, see there, it's not hard to know where you're supposed to be, what you were created to do, what your position is in the body of Christ, who you are in the kingdom of God, how to walk in these things. Wait a minute, Brother Copeland, my goodness. He said right there, that apostle prayed this day in and day out, and then it's in the Word of God that it is available to you and me to have full knowledge of His will with the spiritual understanding to discern it, live it, and walk in it. But you have to do it by faith. Now, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Walking worthy of the Lord. Oh, I got to walk worthy of the Lord. Oh, but I'm so unworthy. I'm so no good. There you go. Your religious correctness has got you by the nose again. Wouldn't be any political correctness if it hadn't been religious correctness. I noticed for years and years and years, nearly all of the Christian movies that I saw didn't want to offend anybody. Therefore, they were little mamby-pamby movies that, dear Lord, you get so bored about halfway through the thing, you didn't even want to finish it because you know how Goody Two-Shoes is going to turn out before you ever get to the end of this milky mess. And that the reason it was that way is because Christians don't want to offend anybody with the gospel. We don't want to preach prosperity over there, Brother Copeland. Those people are just too poor. Yeah. Hey, people tell me that. Oh, yeah. You better get out of my way. Because you just told me what I'm going to preach all the time I'm here.
Glory.
I don't, we weren't supposed to go into a stricken, downtrodden, poverty, sick environment and go in there and be downtrodden and sick just like them. Because we don't want to offend anybody. No, bless God, we need to offend every devil in town. Why? Because we go in there with the victory. We go in there with the power to prosper. We go in there with the power of healing. We go in there with the power of redeem from the curse. Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory.
Get them healed and pay their bills.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Been embarrassed. That's not walking worthy of the Lord. And to be so religiously correct, oh, I wouldn't want to say that I'm healed. I wouldn't want to say that I'm blessed. Oh, I wouldn't want to say. That's the reason you ain't got nothing, because you ain't got the guts to say it. I've had men stand right next to me and say, oh, Brother Copeland, I wouldn't say that. Why? Don't you know the devil will hear you? I had one man tell his son-in-law. His son-in-law had just gotten connected with us, and of course, in his dad-in-law's eyes, it ruined him. He said, I'll tell you one thing. You just wait. I give that young whippersnapper about 5 years. And the devil's going to take his challenge. Now, see, he got way more faith in the devil than he did in the anointing.
Yeah.
Well, 5 years came and gone, and we were several times larger than we were before. And his son-in-law remembered it. He went to him. He said, all right, now what? He said, 5 more years. You wait and see what I do. Yeah, I know the devil will hear me. I said it for his benefit. I want him to know that I know the blood of Jesus separated me from him and from his authority. I want him to know that by the name of the Lord God Almighty, I have authority over him and all of his works.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And I said it for my benefit.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, I have what I say.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus died to get it. It's been very interesting to me over the last 45 years. I preached parts of this sermon the very first time I ever preached after I found this out. I saw I haven't been preaching anything else. I ain't got time to preach something else. And people talk about, oh, that's that blab it and grab it bunch. name it, claim it, whatever else, you know. Well, see, I don't have any care. Back way back then, I rolled all that care over on the Lord Jesus, because the Apostle Peter said that if I don't do that, then I'm living in pride. So cast the whole of your care, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting the whole of your care over on Him. So I ain't had that care in a long time. But what's been amazing to me, I look back, we blabbed it and grabbed it. And now we got it. We named it, claimed it. And been living in the pleasure of it and under the glory shadow of God in it. If God had a shadow, it'd be glory, wouldn't it? Amen. Sure. Under the shadow of the Almighty, His shadow of glory. So now look, let's read on down. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What is all pleasing to God? What did He say to Adam? What did He say to Noah? What did He say to Abram, which became Abraham? What did He say to these men and their families? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing. Woo! Glory to God. Those that walk worthy of the Lord are those that are aware of the blessing and are standing fast in the liberty wherewith He has called us to be free and be blessed and walk in the power and the outpouring of that blessing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. This is what brings these things into being, is being ever aware and ever conscious to praise God for this. Praise God for it. Praise God. Praise God for what? Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now here it is again. Remember where the cross stands between two worlds? And I might add right here, Jesus said, you can't walk in both these worlds at the same time. No man can live in two worlds. He'll serve one and hate the other. You can't do it. Who hath, H-A-T-H, has. Anytime you see that, that's referring not only to the cross of Jesus. Look at it like this. It's referring to the cross of Jesus and the moment you accepted that cross and were crucified with Christ. You made Him the Lord of your life. Turned your life over to Him, and it released the power of the creative power of the blessing, of which part is the new birth. The new birth is part of the blessing. It released that and recreated you, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, into the very likeness of the resurrected Jesus. Old things passed away. All things became new. Why? Why did all things become new? Why are we giving God praise for this? Look, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us, took us out. Not only does Satan and the forces of darkness not have any authority over you, you're not in their kingdom anymore. You don't live there anymore. You're no longer an alien. Oh, I see that some of you look at me like I just got out from under the bus on that one. Hold your place there and look back here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. God, in the fourth verse, God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, we were still under authority of darkness, has made us alive together with the anointed one and his anointing. He made us alive together with Jesus and with his anointing. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's always had a plan for you. He's always had a plan for your life. He's got a plan for this nation, glory to God. And we're not going to fall short. We're not going to fail. We're going to fulfill our calling. He's always had a plan for you. But drifting around over here in the kingdom of darkness, stumbling over all that hell could throw in your path, you didn't have a clue. Ah, but then came Jesus. Then came the cross. Then came the resurrection. Amen. And then you were born again by grace. You were saved. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained and planned that we should walk in it. Now look at the 12th verse, or the 11th verse. Remember, you being in times past Gentile, you're a Gentile is somebody that doesn't know God. Let me tell you what Gentiles are. God blessed Noah and his sons, and he had three sons. One son, Shem, stayed with the blessing. Shem stayed with it. He eventually became, before the end of his life and calling, he became Melchizedek, Lord Mayor of Salem or Jerusalem. He then blessed Abram and declared Abram possessor of heaven and earth through God. Blessed be Abram of the Almighty God, possessor of heaven and earth. Then in the book of Romans, you see how that transaction was made. By faith, Abraham became heir of the world. Now, the other two boys, Ham and Japheth, became the Gentiles. The ones that threw the blessing away just like Adam did and said, we don't need God to meet our needs. That then created over time the Babylonian system of man trying to meet his own needs, and the nations are cursed with it today. All the isms came out of those two boys. Now then, here in the book of Galatians, where we were just a few moments ago, the scripture, this is in the third chapter, the eighth verse, the scripture foreseeing, the scripture seeing the future, preached the gospel unto Abraham. That's good, isn't it? The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. God would justify Ham and Japheth. That's the only way he's ever seen it. To him, it was just three people, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem stayed with it, the other two didn't, created Babylon. So now he said the scripture foreseeing that God would justify Ham and Japheth preached the gospel. So now here is the gospel. He preached the gospel. In other words, you could say God preached the gospel to Abraham through the word, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." You're still talking about that blessing. And then you come right down at the 13th verse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he went to the cross to do this, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on Ham and Japheth through Jesus. Well, I mean, you know, you and I are kin to them. You got to be kin to one of the three. And Jess and me are kin to all three of them. Yeah. Now, if you read that and study through that, you see how asinine racism is. That's stupid, man. I mean, we had to be so dense and so absolutely, utterly out of school when that thing came along to ever get involved in any kind of ism to start with, but particularly looking at people because of their different color. Then no white man ought to have a black suit in his closet. He can't have a brown suit. He can't have a yellow suit. He can't have a yellow shirt. Everything he got to be white. That's the reason. Ha! For the coat of many colors. Come on. Why? Neither Greek nor Jew, neither male nor female availeth anything. The only thing that avails anything is the new birth in Christ. For if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory be to God forevermore. So now, here we are. Watch this. Verse 12. At that time you were without the anointed one, and you certainly were without his anointing that destroys yokes and burdens, being aliens, I told you alien, being aliens from the common wealth of Israel. What is the common wealth of Israel? The blessing. And strangers from the covenants, plural, of promise. If you're a stranger from the word of God, I don't care if you even born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you don't know the word, you're a stranger from the covenants. You're strangers from the promise. You don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. You don't know what belongs to you. You don't know the power in the name of Jesus. You're not a disciple. A disciple is somebody that the word orders and changes their life every day they live and breathe. Yeah. There are people that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior that don't pay no more attention to him than a duck flying over the lake. They make their own plans. Or they occasionally ask God to bless them. You're so far out in left field, you don't know where home plate is. Put on the full armor of God. Where's it at? You can find the breastplate in one room, the helmet's out beside the garage. So even though you're born again and be a stranger, oh, that's sad, man. You live, now, and then this is the point. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, the pitiful part of this, go back over there to the book of Colossians now. who delivered us from the authority of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You were put into the kingdom of God. You're supposed to be living here, seeking this kingdom, living it every day, promoting the kingdom, speaking the kingdom, looking at the king, listening to the king, everything that the king has to do and say in this kingdom, totally separated from that other one over there. But I'm telling you, if you want to release hell on earth in your life, all you need to do is be a stranger from the covenant that put you over here. Here you are in the kingdom of darkness. Everything over here is the way you were raised. You understand this kingdom. You know you ain't worth nothing. You know you're never gonna be worth nothing. And there's some guy on the top of the hill that's got everything, and he hates your guts and you hate his. So let's organize and get everything he's got. After all, we gotta meet our needs, and he's got too much. So what are we going to do with this? Let's the three of you and me, that's four. That's more than enough. Let's go up there and take everything he's got. We strip him down to nothing. And now we divide it 4.5 ways. We give him half. He don't get to eat but 1.5 times a day. After all, he's been eating too much. But now we're going to pursue and eat that up. Now, you know this system. Yeah. You understand this. I don't have to stand here and talk about it. You just sit here. I'm not having any trouble explaining what this system over here is like.
Right.
Well, now the five of us have got to go get something else. See, there ain't no God, so there ain't no increase over here. This kingdom has no increase. In fact, the God, the Lord, over this kingdom is out to take everything you got away from you in order to get a fight started between you and somebody else, because if he can get the strife going, there's every evil work that goes along with it. Well, now there's six of us. Now we're working up here till we got about 8 or 10 of us. Man, we on a roll. The only problem is there ain't nothing left to steal. Now what are we going to do? They got some over there. Let's go over and get this. We're going to keep this up until somebody don't like it. And somebody is going to fight back. Now you got a war. That's what started the first war in the history of mankind. The first king started the first war. Offspring of Ham and Japheth. And there you have it. Now, this is what is so sick. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. I'm over here in this kingdom. Everything belongs to me. I have access to the very throne of grace. Jesus said, blessed. He started that mighty message out there on the mountain. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's called Beatitudes. Where did we get that? Jesus preached the blessing. That's what he was preaching. First word out of his mouth, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, for theirs, the kingdom of God belongs to them. Poor in spirit, that's old English translation, and it's confusing. What they were trying to say is a man that's poor in spirit is one that knows he's got to depend on God for everything. And it's contemporary English translate, and it translates it closer to being correct in the light of the blessing itself. And it says, blessed are those who depend on God solely for everything. For the kingdom of God belongs to them. Said, the whole kingdom belongs to you. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It gives your Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom. You own this place. You ain't having to beg anybody for anything. And there's more than enough over here. We could use it all up and can't find any way to use up the blessing. And the connection is the tithe. Oh, what a deal God set up for us. Man alive, you bring me what's mine, he said. And he gave to you what's his so you could bring it back. Do you remember when you were a little guy, like I was in church, my daddy said, now, boy, now here, now, this is yours, but now you don't spend this. You need to put it in the offering. He's teaching me, see, teaching me how to give. Well, he gave me the money. I didn't earn that money. He gave it to me. You didn't earn that money. God gave it to you. Amen. He gave it to you so you can bring it to him. And he said, if you'll return to me what's mine, I'll return to you what's yours. Yours is the blessing. I'll pour out the blessing, yes, quote, which belongs to you. Amen. And portions you ain't find any way to use, and so big you can't contain it. That's over here in the kingdom. But the sad part of this, you're over here in the kingdom living like an alien. I don't belong here. You're still living out the kingdom of darkness and its rules over here in the kingdom of heaven. Wow, how sad. You were born to be free. I'm not talking about when you're born of your mama. I'm talking about when you were born of your father. Oh, born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, yes, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I tell you, don't yield to your natural physical DNA. It'll try to follow the course your parents went. It'll try to cause your body to die the same time they died. I noticed mine started going downhill when I reached my 70s because I'm the bloodline of my mother and that family's background is stronger in me than my father's side, and I was headed towards the time when most of my kinfolks on that side, their bodies quit in their mid to late 70s. I just crossed 69 or 70. I noticed my body started going in that direction. Well, I didn't like it, but I didn't realize what was going on because what I had normally done over the years to take the thought and take the word of God, put it in my thought and say it, believe it, stand on it, yes, receive my healing, yes, and go on. Yes. But it was working more slowly than it had before. And God woke me up that I ought to be living 120 years, not no 75 or 76 years. Yes. And he said to me several years ago, he said, that's just as much my word as by my stripes you were healed. Yes. Now, what are you going to do with it? Well, I didn't want to stay here no 120 years. There are times you get, like the Apostle Paul, you get to thinking, boy, let's get this over with. Dear God, let's get out of here. But when I grabbed hold of that and stood on it, I noticed it started changing things where my body was concerned because I began to confess that 120 years. Amen. And believe in God, I got to have this body for 46 more years. And I heard the Lord say this one afternoon. Now, you know what you've done? I said, well, a little. He said, your physical body was following the pattern of your ancestors and their physical DNA. He said, by my word seed in you, your spirit man has my DNA. Yes. Your spirit man is eternity. Yes. He said, when you got over on my word concerning that, he said that your spirit man then rescued your body, picked it up. Now, he said, you're going to have to stand fast in that liberty. You're going to have to stand on the word of God. You're going to have, now that you know the truth and the truth made you free from that, yes, but you're going to have to stand for it. Because yes, Satan will come try to take it away from you, and he has. He's tried to. Amen. Amen. He's not going to take my blessing away from me. No, ma'am. No, sir. He has delivered you from the power of darkness, the authority of darkness, and translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, I said all that to tell you this. This is where we're going this week as the Lord leads. And I heard this morning. And God is going to reveal and develop things to us and through us and in us. Oh, Lord God, there's enough of us in here just this morning to affect this planet and hit the kingdom of darkness so hard that it'll never, ever recover. Brother Jim Hilton brought me his new book the other day, and I began to read that, and I no more than got into, I never got through the first few pages till it just, man alive, God just opened my eyes to what he was saying. Here's an element of this that I hadn't seen, I hadn't touched. I knew that Jesus came preaching the blessing. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and all of them came preaching the law and its curse. Jesus came preaching, blessed are those, blessed are those. And the Apostle Peter then preached right after his resurrection. He said, you are the sons of the prophets, and Jesus came to, God sent Jesus to bless you. He sent Jesus to say, be fruitful and multiply. He sent Jesus to put that blessing on you. They'd talk themselves out of it. They didn't have a clue. And then he led them out to that ascension place. And while he was being lifted, the blessing. See, here's what you have to understand. It was the power of that blessing that did the healing. He said, it's the Father within me. He does the works. It was the power of the blessing that did the healing. It was the power of the blessing that raised people from the dead. It was the power of the blessing that raised up him. It was the power of the blessing that did all those miracles. And it was the power of the blessing that lifted him up. And as he was lifted up, leaving their sight, the scripture said, and he blessed them. Well, he already said, I only say what I heard my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. So you know what he said to him. Right. Now compare, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Compare that to, go into all the world. Go in, now he wasn't talking about the earth. Of course it has to do with the earth. But he said, go into all of that Babylonian choked down system world that's trying to meet their needs without me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. My God, brother, we just found out what the gospel is, that through Abraham all the world would be blessed. Come on, hallelujah. And that's him headed up. That's him going. Go to all the world and preach this blessing. Make disciples out of them. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this morning? Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus.